sure most, if not all of us here, want to be thankful people. We want to learn to be thankful, to give thanks. And when we look at our lives, you know, we can say, well, we've got a lot to be thankful for. At least in those times where we might be feeling happy and we might be feeling thankful, we look in our lives and we think, you know, yeah, there is a lot to be thankful for. But often we're not. Maybe often we don't kind of look at our lives as lives, you know, but we don't look at our lives and see the things that we have to be thankful for. We take the blessings that we do have, we take them for granted. Or on the other hand, there are those things that we look around us and we wish we had, which we don't have, and therefore we want them. And so we're not thankful for the things that God has given to us. And so our passage reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 5, be thankful. A Christian is called to be thankful. And this we have seen in the past 2 weeks isn't just a command, as if, you know, like just a kick in the pants, come on, be more thankful. There is that, but what goes before that is what helps us to be thankful. Now, if you remember, the indicative comes before the imperative. Who you are, what we are, comes before how then are you to live. Indicative always comes before the imperative. And so what principles have we learned? Well, we've learned to focus on the root of thankfulness, which is who God is. Who is God? And what has he done in Christ Jesus? You see, only a Christian can be thankful, truly thankful. There's lots of ways to be thankful, but only a true Christian can be truly thankful because we see who God is and we see him as our Heavenly Father and that he only gives good gifts to his children. He only ever gives good gifts to his children. And it's really important to remember because last week we talked about being thankful in all circumstances. And if we don't see our God as good and we don't see him as a loving Heavenly Father, we cannot be thankful in the difficult times, in the difficult circumstances, in the trials of life, because we don't see these things as good and we don't see what God is doing in the difficulties and the trials of life. Now, God is good. He's our loving Heavenly Father, and he only ever gives good gifts to his children. And so last week, we were encouraged to even list before God as we thank him for the trials of our lives. Thank God for the trials of our lives because we know what he's doing. We know that in those trials, he's perfecting us and making us more and more like our Savior. Today, we want to look at the practice. We've kind of, in many ways, we've looked at the practice already. How do we be more thankful? But today I want to look at the practice and go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. There in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we want to see how God calls his people to be thankful. And I have just two words they're not really points, but two words that we're going to be focusing on. First is to remember, and the second is to be humble. Remember and humility. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, maybe children, you know what the book of Deuteronomy is. Onomy is law, and Judah, or sometimes we talk about a duo, which means two people, right? So this is the second law. Deuteronomy is the second law. Nomos is law, Deutero is two. So the second law. And you see why this is the second law, because the people of Israel, they're about to go into the promised land. Finally, they're there. They've been through the wilderness. 40 years it's taken them. And they're there at the promised land, and Moses, God has said to Moses, you're not entering the promised land. You will die before you get to the promised land. So Moses knows he's about to die. People of Israel standing at the borders of Canaan, and Moses comes to them and says, I want to tell you how you are to live when you get into the promised land. And so this is the second law. It's kind of, you could say, a summary of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers in some way. But before he gets to the law, before he gets to this is how you need to live, he reminds the people, this is what God has done for you. So it's kind of a history lesson. First you get a bit of history, and then I'm going to tell you how to live in the promised land. And so chapter 8 is very much a history lesson, isn't it? God tells the people of Israel, this is what I've done. And this is what you're about to receive. And so that's why in verse 2 we have this really very, very important word, verse 2, and you shall remember. Remember. Don't forget. What does it mean to remember? It means to kind of bring to mind something, right? To bring your mind back to something. Maybe children, mum and dad say to you something like, remember last time you touched a hot pan? Remember that? So they're kind of trying to remind you. Remember what happened then? It was sore. It hurt your fingers, right? And why do you have to remember? So you won't do it again. Or remember last time you climbed that tree? It was fun going up, but then you got stuck at the top and dad had to go up after you to get you down. Just remember. Remember what happened. And so God says to the people of Israel, remember, remember. Look at all the things you've endured, he says in verse 2. The whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. He speaks about, in verse 3, he let you hunger, and he fed you with manna. He gave you clothing which never wore out. Your feet never swelled up. For 40 years he was with you. Why? Why do you need to remember? Verse 2. The whole way that the Lord your God has led you. The Lord your God has led you all these years. Who was it that did this for you? Who was it that cared for you? Who was it that gave you manna? Who was it that allowed your clothing to not wear out and your feet not to swell? Who was it that provided for you? It was the Lord, your God, the covenant God, the God who has loved you, the God who called you out of Egypt, the God who took you out of the bondage, the slavery of Egypt. This is your God. Don't forget him and don't forget what he has done for you. Well, I said, like in Psalm 78 that we sang, when we see the whole psalm, that's what the psalm is about. Tell your children about this, but remember what God has done. Look back, remember. A lot of the psalms, sometimes you read the psalms, you think, boy, that's a long psalm. I know that history already. Why do we have to keep, reading those big long psalms with lots and lots of history? Because you're called, and the people of Israel were called to remember. Remember, remember. And that's what we're called to do. Remember, 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 remember what the Lord has done. Remember who you are. Remember God's care for you. Remember his love poured out on you. Remember what he has done for you in giving you the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember his saving purposes. Remember how he has led you on life's journey. Look back and see his goodness and see his love for you. The Lord, your God, your Father, has done this. Remember. Remember. It's not something that we do naturally. For sure, we reminisce. We sit in our chairs and we lean back and we think about all those wonderful times in the past. Yes, we do that at times. But as a general rule, we're thinking about today because today is the best. And what is to come? I mean, it's only getting better. Our society, at least our Western society, is very much geared to this. The past, for sure, we go to museums and we see what happened in the past and we kind of smile and we think, oh, that was amusing that those people did those funny things in those days. But now is when we live and we are looking, ahead. I mean, it's only going to get better and better, isn't it? In many ways, that's what the whole thinking of evolution is about, you see? Because you start off pretty small and nothing and you kind of come to where we are now and it's only going to get better and better. Now it's good to live in the now and it's good to live for the future. God tells us to look ahead. God tells us to look forward. We have this hope of eternal life. So there is a sense where that is good, but it doesn't take away from looking back. Look back. Remember what God has done. Remember his care and provision. Remember his salvation. Why? In case you forget. Verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God. You see, when you remember and when you reflect on what God has done, you do not forget the Lord your God. Do not forget him. Bring his deeds and his cares and his care over you to mind much, else you will not remember and you will not be thankful. It's interesting, this morning we're going to come to the Lord's Supper, and it's called, you know, we've already looked at the fact that it's called the meal of thanksgiving, but it's also a meal of remembrance. Do this, Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. Remember what I've done for you. Recall to mind all that I've given to you. Recall to mind everything that I've given up so that you might have life. Remember and thank him. Thank me for what I have done for you. So firstly, remember. Secondly, humility. Humble yourselves before God, our passage reminds us. Humble yourselves before God. Again, verse 2 and 3. You shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years through the wilderness, that he might humble you. Again in verse 3. He humbled you. He made you go hungry. He fed you with manna and so forth. He humbled you. Because God wants a humble people. Proud people do not give thanks. Humble people give thanks. God wants a humble people. Isaiah 57 verse 15 reminds us, I dwell in a high and a holy place. God dwells in a high and a holy place. And where else does he dwell? He dwells with him who is of contrite and humble spirit. Amazing. God, the God who dwells in unapproachable light, who lives in all glory, he also dwells in those who are humble, humble of heart. You see, as we look back, we are humbled by God's provision. We are humbled by what God has done. God, you see, wants us to lean on him. That's what he was doing to the people of Israel as they were wandering through the desert. He made them, he allowed them to go hungry. Why? So that they would cry to him. He granted them manna. Why? So that every day they would look to him for their provision. Not to themselves. Not to what they had done, but that they would look to him. He humbled him. You see, people that are not humble do not lean on God. Sorry, maybe I should say the other way first. Those who are humbled lean on God and trust God. Every day. His mercies are new, right? Every morning. So we go to God and we plead with God for what we need. We're reminded who God is and who we are. We lean on him. We trust him for what he will give to us. Now, if we're not humble, we don't lean on him. If we're not humble, we think we can get this ourselves. What do we need God for? And we're definitely not thankful. Because after all of my work and all of my labor have done this. It's what God was saying to the people of Israel. If you forget me, and if you forget all that I've done for you in the desert, and if you forget the fact that I humbled you, and I brought you, as it were, to the dust, you'll come into the land of Canaan, and you will accumulate all this wealth, and you will say, well, I've done pretty well for myself, thank you very much. And we're not thankful. We don't become a thankful people. It's interesting, isn't it, in verse 12, where we read, when by the time they get into the promised land, Moses is telling them this, because what's going to happen, you're going to get into the promised land, and you're going to eat, and you're going to have your fill, and you're going to build good houses, and you're going to live in them, and your herds and your flocks are going to multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. And that's exactly what happened. They got rich. Very rich in the land of Canaan. But the problem that becomes in verse 17, beware When you have all this stuff, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me all this wealth. I've done pretty well. Thank you very much. Well, actually, we probably don't. Well, thank you very much. But we're kind of thanking ourselves then, aren't we? See, we see it in today's society as well, don't we? We've gotten so much. We've explained how our economy works, and we know exactly how we got to where we got to, because after all, this is how economies work. And we're looking ahead, and we're looking how we can produce more and more wealth. We're at the top of the world, and we really don't need to be thankful. I mean, we've done pretty well through COVID. At least our economy here in New Zealand hasn't done too well. Now we can do what we want to do, and we've kind of managed to keep COVID out of the country as best as we can. And we think, you know, we haven't done too badly. But it's not by accident, you see, that as people get rich, we forget God, we forget to be thankful, because we place pride and we place our desires in ourselves. We're not a humble people. The great temptation of wealth is to take us away from God, and we forget Him, and we forget to be thankful. Finally then, let's just briefly look at the practice of this. How do we live this out? How do we live out this life of thankfulness? Well, we go back and we remember. We remember. We all do this at some stage, don't we, in our lives? We look back and we think about, yeah, this is what has happened in my life. Back when I was younger, I did these things and those things. Sometimes children, you probably hear mum and dad say things like that. Well, when I was younger, you know, we had to bike to school. Uphill both ways, against the wind, all those kind of things. You know, we hear our parents say things like that, but often we're looking back and we're saying, well, back in my day, back when I was younger, and there's a sense where that's good. But we need to look back in the sense that we see what God has done, and then we can start to be truly thankful for what He's done. But then also, sometimes when we look back, we just look at those rosy things, all these wonderful things that happened in our life. And it's good, because we can thank and praise God for that. But sometimes we look back in our lives and there are a lot of disappointments in life and things that we are ashamed of. And God says it is still good to remember those things, because you can see how God has humbled you. You know, if it was left up to me, where would I be? Where would I be now? You know, maybe you look back in your life and you know, maybe there are certain sins in your life that you've seen in your past, maybe lust or anger or just laziness. And you think about that and you think, what if that had flowered to what it could be? What if that had grown and grown? Where would I be now? We've seen it in others. We've seen the broken marriages that brings about. We've seen families destroyed. We've seen the loss of jobs. We've seen income. We've seen relationships broken. We've seen sins of the past which have flowered, which affect children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And we realize as we look back, God has, if I can say, stemmed the increase of that sin. Now we're still struggling with those sins and so forth, but God has put a lid on it, if I can say it like that. It has not developed into its natural consequences. And what do? We thank and we praise God for that. You start to see all the blessings and all the trials in life, and we thank God. We can do the same as the church. Now we can be thankful for what we have as a church and God's grace among us, where we've come from. You know, some know the history of this church better than others, and if you don't know it very well, go ask somebody that might know, and there's quite a number of people here that do know the history of the church. And sometimes again, when we look back, we think about all those wonderful things that have happened in the past. And there are many wonderful things. We think about those, especially the early founders of the Reformed Church of Dunedin, who gave of themselves so much. Wonderful acts of sacrifice. Night after night, year after year, they gave of themselves for the life of the church. And we look back and we thank God for them. And we thank God that He used them to bring us to where we are now. You know, we looked at that a little bit when on Thursday night, you know, look at people like Augustine. But in general, as you look at church history, you see all the wonderful ways in which God has brought the church and how He cared for her in so many wonderful ways. And we think, we praise God for that. But then we also see, if I can say, the darker side of our history. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? In the Old Testament, God never makes things look better than what they were. Because when God recalls people's Israel's history in the wilderness, He reminds them of the golden calf, He reminds them of the rebellion at Meribah, and He reminds them of what happened at Baal Peor just before they came into the promised land in Moab. Times when the people of Israel completely rebelled against God. One, to set up a golden calf. Another time they went off and had their big parties with the people of Moab. And they intermarried with them and did all kinds of things like that. And God reminds them of that. And we need to be reminded, you see, even of our darker periods in history. Because even in this church, you know, there has been infighting that has tarred our image. We have neglected our community. We've kept the gospel to ourselves. We've prided in our theological accuracy. Told other Christians we're okay. After all, we have the truth. You don't. Things like that. And as part of the church, this is our history as well. We don't only have to blame our forefathers, we can blame ourselves. And as we look back and as we see that, we see God has been so faithful. What do we have that we deserve? We deserve nothing. We deserve to have the candlestick removed, as in those early churches. But God has been faithful. And God reminds us of these things to humble us so that we know that as we go into our future, we go to God on our knees and we say, Lord, guide us and keep us. And Lord, we know that wherever you take us, we can trust you. And so we can be truly thankful for what He has given. God has been good. God has been kind despite us. Let us then, as a church and as individuals, think about God's provision and thank Him and praise Him for that. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, what can we say but to thank you? To thank you for everything that you've given to us. To thank you that despite who we are and what we have done, despite as we look back in our lives, you have been good and faithful. And we praise you and we thank you. We thank you for the physical blessings you've given to us, the freedoms, the comforts, the wealth. Thank you that you have given them to us. Thank you, gracious God, for the spiritual blessings, the comfort and the wealth of knowing Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom are our riches beyond measure. We thank you for each one here gathered for worship this morning. Thank you for everyone who is part of this church, that you have gathered us together because we know it is good, those who are here. And we know that it is good that you've placed these brothers and sisters around us. We thank you, Father, for those who have gone before us, who have carved the way out for us. And we thank you for your faithfulness, even in them and their lives. Oh Lord, we look to you, and we look and we give thanks to you, because you alone are the one who gives us everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 169. We're going to sing together.